On K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, American Heritage Bank, Bartlesville, Pahuska, Barnstall, and the Osage Region, Enterprise Sod Store, and Overlee's Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
That's right, he's got the emerald thumb, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. If you have a gardening question, welcome to Green Country Gardener, Adam Hooper, and Mr. Larry Glass.
Yes.
Glass.
Yes, that. Something like that.
Something like that. Don't worry, I'm waking up here.
Good morning
to you.
Good morning, Adam. Good to see you. Golly.
It's good to see you.
Hey, we got usual weather and patterns.
Yes.
Not unusual, but usual. This is typical of what we can expect to have around in the wintertime.
40s supposed to be for the highs 40, today.
Yeah, and then the 20s and so 20s. On. And an occasional little popper that comes by and zings us right good.
But hey, let me tell you something. It's supposed to be in the mid-50s by tomorrow.
Yeah, great. Get my Christmas lights down.
There you go.
It's been too cold for the weekend.
Yeah, it has been.
At least we missed a good snowstorm, huh?
Those folks at the eastern seaboard looks like they're getting pounded.
We don't know what's going to happen the week after next, though, so
no,
who knows, huh?
Well, who knows
what's brewing up in the Pacific? Any word?
Haven't heard anything, but all I can say is, and I know all of you, some of you like snow.
Yes, my wife really wants snow real bad.
She wants snow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to go into that.
Well,
but
send Charlie on an out of town assignment, and then it'll snow.
Okay. Charlie will go out.
But
of
anyway,
town
in our usual weather patterns, you look up on the elm trees and the cottonwood trees, you're starting to see some bud swell.
Yeah, you were telling me some of them are starting to.
Yeah, you remember back on the 21st of December.
Yes, I do.
When it was the shortest day of the year.
Yes.
And we're gaining about a minute a day or so. And it'll increase a little bit as we go further in the spring. The length of day will increase, not exponentially. I don't know. Is it a logarithm? Whatever. But the days get just a little bit longer. And the trees are responding to that a little bit. You're starting to get some bud swell on some of the earlier sprouting trees. The trees that really aren't very smart, such as your cottonwood trees and your willow trees and elms, are starting to show just a little bit of bud swell. Yeah.
I think we got a caller on the line. Let's go to our caller here today. Good morning, caller. Hello. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you today?
You can send us some snow.
No.
We need snow.
Please.
I don't want any, but. But
snow is.
I I'm jealous of the ones out there that's getting the 2 or 3 feet of snow.
Yeah, I know. We need some here.
We really do need some, but I love the snow. And they tease me at church about, you're probably happy when it snows. I am. I love the snow.
So do I. Anyway, it's good to have a little change like that now and then.
Yeah, I just had to. Send me some snow.
All right, we'll try real hard.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right, if you have a gardening question for Larry, hey, give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Yeah, we were talking about some of the trees are starting to
show. The daffodils are popping up out of the ground. I know my little miniature ones are starting to pop up a little bit, too.
Yeah,
and it's not unusual for that to happen. So don't be concerned when you start to see some leaves coming up on your tulips and your daffodils and hyacinths and other things like that.
You mentioned that because we're starting to gain a minute a day. Is that kind of what the pattern is starting to turn out to be right now?
Yeah, that's what's happening. The weeds are starting to grow.
Oh,
in the
yes,
and things are starting
those
to break
I have,
up a little bit.
Those I have seen so far is weeds.
I actually saw a boxwood with some flower blossoms on it swelling up. So
really?
Yeah, boxwoods do bloom, you know. Yes. And they have lots of little flowers on them when they do. They're not very showy. It'd be a really good plant if they had flowers on them the size of hibiscus, you know. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sell enough of them then. Jeez. But yeah, they do bloom and they're getting ready to do so. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen any budswell, any significant budswell yet on the forsythia. They sort of do everything all at once. Mm. And the flowering quince will start to come out too. So a lot of things are starting to wake up a little bit too. So it's on its way. And we're having typical weather. So the best thing we can hope for is a warm spell. Maybe this week, if it get up into the 60s and 70s for a few days, that'll wake up the gumball trees, the sweet gums.
Oh, okay.
And then we have a real good zapper while they're in bloom. Then we won't have any gumballs. And that'll actually reduce the acorn populations too, if the timing is just right on the trees. But there are chemical ways to keep that from happening on your gum trees, and it's rather expensive, and the timing is precise, and most of the time it doesn't work. So it's a good try, I guess. So anyway, that's maybe the most thing we can help for. Some of the bleeding trees, the maples and the birch, though, if you do need to trim them, you need to get after it. Today and tomorrow will be good days for that. It's going to be relatively warm. So besides getting the Christmas lights off the house, you can probably trim up your trees a little bit.
Can't believe you're still got your Christmas lights out.
Well, you know, you got, you know, 1 or 2 days a week and you can do some. It's been cold every weekend.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
What do you do?
You
unplug
nothing.
Them.
You do nothing. You hibernate in the house.
Yeah, so that's gonna take place this week.
Yeah.
So anyway, at the nursery we have cyclamens. They're showing some good color right now. They make a good plant for Valentine's Day. That's coming up, so you want to be prepared for that when that happens. And some people like plants for Valentine's Day.
Some do.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah, some do.
So, and the trees are on sale. We planted a tree this week. So we try to plant trees at least one a week. Mm-hmm. We average probably about a tree a day that we plant. So that's a lot of trees in 30 years.
Is this a good time to plant trees, I guess?
It's a great time to plant trees. The soil's good right now. You can actually dig a hole in the ground. It's really good right now. So you might consider getting that shade tree you might want. So spring's still a good time, but it's not the best time, but it's still a good time to do it. Mm-hmm. Shrubs also, we got some good shrubs at the nursery too. So if you got something you need to do shrub-wise, we've got those. We can give you some advice on how to prepare the soil too when you plant your shrubs. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We've been going through the various suppliers all over the country. Oregon and Alabama and California and Tennessee and even New Jersey.
Mm.
I guess they're not digging many trees today over there.
They're digging snow. Yes.
And,
they're going to be digging snow for a while.
Came across some giant Japanese Acer palmatum, the dissectum varieties. Mm-hmm. The weeping Japanese maples, the big ones. I mean, they're as big around as this room.
Yeah, oh, wow.
You get those in for somebody who wants one. They're only $49,000. Whew, such a bargain.
That is a bargain.
Why wait?
Why wait? Yeah, that's a good bargain right there.
So if you got the hankering to have a big Japanese maple, need to contact us so we can get it in, because there's only so many freight lines available that can carry a tree the size of a room. So we do get requests for that now and then. So if you want to spend that much on a tree, that's fine. We can get it in. The climate here is a little risky, though. So.
In the climate,
not
usually
not so much the climate as the raccoons.
In the climate, really risky around here, usually.
For something that expensive, I would say it could be. Because, golly, the weather can just, bam, change overnight. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why I like to start out relatively small on the trees, just so they have a chance to adapt a little better than something really big. So,
okay.
The 5-gallon tree, I've got 2 water oaks in my backyard, and they're as big around as you can reach. And I planted them 8 years ago. And they were just little tykes, little old 5-gallon things, and they've really taken off. And I haven't done a great deal of effort to make them grow, just the usual stuff. You know, water them when it gets a little dry and make sure they have good soil around them and so on and so on. Try to keep the bugs away, trim them up a little bit. They're very easy to grow and very, most trees are that way. So anyway, that comes to Tree of the Week,
okay.
Which is the Blue Atlas Cedar, the Cedrus Atlantica glauca.
Oh.
It's yep. native to the Atlas Mountains of Morocco and Algeria.
Okay.
So, like, yeah, if that's of interest, yes.
Yeah.
And it grows kind of in scattered stands of anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 feet. So they can grow pretty tall, too. You can plant this one in your attic, you know, it'll make it okay. But, but they do adapt very well to our climate here. It's an evergreen with blue to bluish green to light green foliage. As the name Glauca implies, Glauca is kind of Latin for things that are blue. So anyway, they grow somewhat rapidly and somewhat irregularly, but they do have interesting color to them, a good color in the landscape, and a good texture contrast in the landscape too, a good backdrop plant. Some people put them by the doors if you have a big towering entryway to the house. Some of them, these houses have these two-story entryways, so these look real good with those, especially if you have stone. It contracts nicely with stone. And it's somewhat, the older trees are somewhat flat-topped and irregular. So if you want to maintain that stature of the tree, you'll have to prune it to maintain that shape. Because by nature, they sort of grow up and then sort of flat out. You know, so they might not fit that particular architectural scheme, if you will.
Right.
In the long run, so you have to maintain it a little bit. They do like well-drained soil and a fair amount of sunshine, and keep it away from the hot brick and the hot stone, because they do get borers. Well, they get borers too, but they tend to get spider mites here also.
Mm.
And that'll creep up on you, because you don't know you have them till it's too late and the plant's overheated due to lack of evapotranspiration. It overheats and kills it. So you want to make sure that you do something to control the borers and the mites. Other than that, it'd be a good tree. Now, you could plant it on the east side of the house or the north side of the house in an area where the brick doesn't tend or stone doesn't tend to get hot. But on the west side of the house, it might be somewhat troublesome. And I really, in my designs, I really don't tend to put anything spruce or cedar like that on the west side of the house for that reason primarily.
Okay. Yeah.
So it also does a great specimen out in the yard. You can put it in groups of three and maybe put some holly in with it, some Foster holly in with it, and it'll give you that green and the red and the blue colors in the winter. So it's good for not only architectural but also accent plants in the yard too. So the blue Atlas cedar is a good one. We have a few out there at the nursery. We have some Hortzman variety of blue Atlas cedar, which is a more compact growing one. And we've had good luck with these in most of our landscapes, typically the ones that are not really on the hot side of the house.
Yeah.
So I also like to use it in rock gardens or in oriental type gardens too. It does very well in that kind of a situation. So it's an interesting plant, and it will outgrow a lot of situations, but there are some varieties such as the Hortzman, which will not tend to outgrow the situation.
Mm-hmm.
As far as maintenance, what's it need? It needs just some moisture when it's really dry, and not too much. And you want to put it in a well-drained situation, because when we have these periods of time when it rains for, you know, 90 days constantly in the spring, it could flood it out. So make sure it's in a well-drained. You might even mound up the landscape. You can mound it up and put some stones around it and some dwarf nandinas and so on for some seasonal interest, just so it's up above the surrounding soil. Then it'll do very well. Fertilize it, use some Miller Organite on it in the spring and fall, and it'll give the tree everything it needs, and it should do fine.
Yeah, sounds great. Sounds great.
Good plants, something blue in the landscape, something irregular, something feathery and soft. And
something different.
Something different.
Yeah,
absolutely. Backdrop or a screen, too.
Yeah, there you go. Larry Lou, we're going to take our first break. And again, we love to hear from you this morning. If you have a gardening question for Larry, give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back with Green Country Gardener after this here on K1.
It's never too early or too late in the season to add indoor tropical plants and cactus to your home. Right now, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has tropical and indoor plants and a variety of cactus to choose from. For outdoor landscaping, Green Thumb has trees and shrubs to choose from at 30% off. Clay pots are on sale too. And while shopping Green Thumb, be sure to check out their large selection of sale items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Friday and Saturday only from 10 till 4.
I'm Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Our adult students are simultaneously growing intellectually and spiritually, and doing it at a pace that works with every stage of life. In a culture that constantly redefines truth, we stand firmly on the Word of God. We believe that it is true and not transient, accurate and not relative, to be hidden in your heart and proclaimed with your mouth. We align our nationally recognized academics with this unwavering knowledge. It serves our adult students well while they attend Oklahoma Wesleyan and throughout all of life.
Earn your degree one class at a time. Oklahoma Wesleyan University offers classes one night a week in Tulsa or completely online to fit your schedule. Enroll now for the Master in Strategic Leadership or Bachelor's in Organizational Management starting March 2016. Call 866-225-6598 or visit okwu.edu for more info.
Right now, during the Wi-Fi Y-Buy Blockbuster, Honda of Bartlesville's biggest online sell event ever. However and wherever you like to do it, at home, on your smartphone, on your iPad, log on bartlesvillehonda.com. Going on now, the Wi-Fi Y-Buy Blockbuster, Honda of Bartlesville's biggest online sell event ever. Why buy now? It's never been easier to shop and save. Oklahoma's number one dealer-rated dealership jumpstarts the new year. Over 400 new and used vehicles on sale online, all with our guaranteed lowest out-the-door price. So however you like to do it, on your home computer, your smartphone, or iPad, you'll like saving thousands during the first ever Wi-Fi Y-Buy Blockbuster, our biggest online sell event ever for a limited time and only at BartlesvilleHonda.com.
Number one claim based on Dealer Rater 2014 buyer survey published results of current Honda owners in Oklahoma.
Mozart.
918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 if you have a gardening question for Larry. All that beautiful music hearing on this Saturday morning. I think we got a caller on the line, so let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you today?
Yes, I was wondering if I could put my daughter's 16th birthday on for tomorrow.
Oops. I'll tell you what. Because you're live right now on the radio, and
I know.
We'll tell her happy birthday.
Happy early birthday to Sierra Wolf.
All okay, right. That's great.
Thank you.
Hey, no problem. Thanks. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Bye bye. You're listening to Green Country Gardener. Again, if you have a gardening question for Larry,
I remember when my daughter turned 16. We had an ice storm.
Oh.
And she wanted so bad to get a driver's license. And I taught her how to drive in the ice and snow as well as, you know, good conditions.
Yes.
So we went over to the armory in the ice to drive over there. Nobody was there.
Oh,
no. She was so mad.
Oh, my God.
If I can make it here, why can't they? So we said, well, we'll come back tomorrow. It'll be gone. And sure enough, it was.
Yeah. Again, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 if you have a gardening question for Larry. And
we talked about Blue Atlas Cedar as Tree of the Week. Now let's talk about Shrub of the Week, which is the Blue Holly.
The Blue Holly.
I bet Elvis Presley would have a good time singing that one.
Oh, he would. He would.
I mean, anyway, the Blue Holly is a medium-sized broadleaf evergreen ornamental shrub, of course. And it gets about 8 feet tall and 8 feet wide in a more desirable habitat. You don't get that here. But it's highly variable depending on the particular hybrid. There are some wider than some tall and some shorter, whatever. There's one called Little Rascal, which is kind of small. And it stays pretty cool, too. But anyway, Where was I? Oh, you can shear it. You can shear it if you want to. But I really don't like to use the electric shears on it unless they're really, really sharp, because the edges of the leaf tend to get a little brown and looks a little strange. So I'd rather use a pruning shears to trim these up in a particular shape. So anyway, hollies are not the best for that anyway.
I think we got a caller. Let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you today?
Would this be a good time of year to trim yellow honeysuckle?
You definitely, yes. Be a great time.
All right, thank you.
All righty.
Trimming
honeysuckle. That can be done now, or you can wait till the St. Valentine's Day massacre. In about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can be done now.
Okay.
So anyway, the blue holly likes full sun to part to full sun. Actually, it'll take some full shade, but it does best in partial sun to partial shade, whatever. And it prefers moist, well-drained, rich, slightly acidic soils.
Mm.
Yeah. In the land of crabgrass,
yeah.
Johnson grass, and hackberry trees, it needs a little help. But it tolerates soils of average to poor fertility. And it's actually, this one is pH adaptable to neutral or even slightly alkaline soils. Many hollies require an acid soil. Our soil here is naturally, can be slightly to grossly alkaline for the some part. Anyway, there are some parts of town where it's actually kind of acid. So just tell me what part of town you live. You don't have to give me your exact address, but just what town, part of town, I can tell you what you need to do to it in order to make it work right. But anyway, it's a pretty cool plant. It's dark green to almost a blue color. And it has little white berries on it. Not white, but little green berries on it pretty much throughout the summer. And then when the fall comes around, they sort of swell up a bit and they turn red. So you get this contrast of red berries with the dark foliage, so they really pop out nicely in appearance. Mm-hmm. So this can be used as a specimen plant. I like to use particularly the Little Rascal as a low hedge, because you really don't have to do much to maintain it as far as, you know, size is concerned. It maintains a nice density and so on. And there are other varieties of blue holly which are very irregular when they're young. So when you come by and you look at one, you go, ugh, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
but they do grow pretty good.
They have
a very
clubby branching habit.
Yes.
The regular blue hollies do. And because of that, they're kind of like Chinese pistache or redwood trees or pin oaks. They just don't sell when they're real young, mm-hmm. because they're somewhat odd shape. But they grow out of that.
Right. And they grow this nice plant.
Right. The foliage, of course, is evergreen. It's waxy and kind of shiny. There are two varieties that do very well. They just grow despite you. One is China Boy and China Girl. And they have kind of a Kelly green foliage and chartreuse stems. I think a designer wrote that.
Well,
light green.
Yeah.
Not chartreuse, light green.
Light green right now.
Yeah. But anyway, the China Boy and the China Girl are something that get fairly tall. And you got to watch it where you plant these, because they will get too big. And they're just a tough, durable plant. A good overall holly plant that doesn't get too extremely large, but they maintain their color nicely and they're vigorous in their growth habit.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a couple of, in an area where you have windows that are real high or something, or you got some mid-level screening you might want to do, or even as a border planting or backdrop planting in the garden somewhere. Those, the China Boy, the China Girl. I like the China Girl for the color. Might put a boy or two in there just to give some berries. But anyway.
That make that interesting.
But they do. They
yeah.
do have a. Okay. They do have a nice color and texture to them. So anyway, the flowers are insignificant, but the fruits are the one that we really go after, and those are the berries that they have in the winter. Now, there are other hollies besides these that berry up real nicely, but a lot of them get fairly large, such as the Nelly R. Stevens holly. It gets about 25 feet tall and about 10 feet wide, but it has an abundance of berries on it. And one of the unique qualities of the Nelly R. Stevens holly is that the flower itself, the female flower, does not have to be fertilized in order for it to make a berry. So you have a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality and density of the berries can vary depending on the weather when they were embloomed. So if we have undesirable weather for a berry set at that particular time, chances are you won't get a big show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, most of the hollies around here are very reliable berriers, if you call that. And one holly that I really like is the deciduous holly. It has berries on it on the stems in the absence of leaves in the winter. And it's really quite attractive right now until the birds get to them.
And what do the birds do to them? Eat them?
They eat them up.
Eat them up. Why do I ask?
But they seem to wait. They wait a little while until mid-February or so to really go after them because the starches in there get converted to sugar when it starts to warm up a little bit. And then they go after it. After a while, they ferment. Then they really don't want them. They sort of collapse and fall off at that point too. But anyway, so you might consider as a mid-level tree actually a deciduous holly, even a yaupon holly. The variety of yaupon known as Pride of Houston has a very significant flower show, and they're really really quite nice. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So that's the blue holly and hollies in general.
Yes.
Where they can be grown and so on. The deciduous holly, being a native plant, will grow in a challenging situation, mm-hmm. without a lot of coddling and care and so on. And yaupon holly adapts very well here. It's native further south, but it adapts real well, and it also grows in just about any situation, soil wise too. So not a lot of preparation is needed for those two plants.
Okay. All right, great. And we're going to take another break, and love to hear from you this morning. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back with Green Country Gardener and your phone calls after this here on K1.
Great fans are part of what helps lead the team to victory. That's why American Heritage Bank is your number one fan. Since 1905, American Heritage Bank has put its customers and communities first. As a full-service bank, American Heritage is committed to meeting your banking needs. Whether you need us once a week or once a month, we are here to serve you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com and let us be your number one fan. American Heritage Bank. Simply better banking. Member FDIC.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod: Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store, 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Shop Peters True Value in Dewey for products that will help you maintain good air quality in your home, like your choice of Filtrate Allergen Defense Air Filters that are only $8.44. These clean air essentials help to minimize microscopic particles like smoke or smog. They also attract large allergens like mold spores and pollen, and they last for up to 3 months. Hurry in for these terrific bargains of the month and other household necessities while supplies last. Peters True Value. Behind every project is a true value.
The Larry Orchestra background music. Welcome back to Green Country Gardener, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 if you have a gardening question for Larry.
Oh.
Yes.
Do you have a question? What question would you have this week?
Well, I'm just trying to think what kind of question that I have, and I usually ask you this. As you know, it's still cold.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Of course. And usually this is a great time you want to figure out what kind of a landscape you'd like to have.
Exactly. This time of year is a good time to think about it because the landscapers in town aren't overly busy. We're at the green time. We're kind of the exception to the rule. We're busier now. We're so busy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Being busy is good.
But it's a good time to think about what you might want to do this summer. Landscaping is a big expense for a lot of people. It is.
Well, it
depends. You plan on spending for the front of your house anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure, number one, that it's something that's going to make it. And number two, something you're going to like. And number three, something that's going to survive. Those are the kind of three things that you really have to consider in the landscaping. And you can do that by getting a plan done. And don't be afraid to call somebody up. And have a lot of people in town, I know we right now, do it but no charge. And it gives you a preview of what it can look like and how much it's going to cost. And you can also phase it over time, too. You don't have to do it all at once unless you want to contract it out. And then you can do it all at once if you want. But so just having that information, you know, at your fingertips available gives you basically some ammunition, if you will, to go out and do the project or have it done. It lets you make a decision as to whether you want to do this and so on. Mm-hmm. So, by all means, it's a good time to do that. And, you know, sometimes you don't even have to be there. Just say, give me a landscape plan. Mm-hmm. You know, a few days later, it pops up in your email, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So we can do that, too.
Yeah, so. I think you know, when I think of landscapes, it's, you know, you just got to plan it out.
You do, yeah. And it's not as simple as you might think it is, because the soil and the type of plants you use over in Covington are different than what you might want to use downtown or what you might want to use in Sooner Park and so on. Or even in Colonial, the soil over there varies from one place to another. Right. We've done sprinkler systems all over Colonial. And when you plunge that trencher down in the soil, in some parts of it, you can go down as far as you can see and not hit a single rock. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you go, you know, two blocks away, and it's just solid rock. In some places, we have to rent jackhammers to get things down into specification, down to codes, and so on. So the soil can vary from one place to another. And when the designer chooses a particular plant, it must be one that'll survive in that situation. Because it changes.
Sure.
And
yeah.
Having a knowledge of the soil in parts of town and so on, and can be a big boon, I guess, or a good thing to know.
Yeah,
it's good to know what kind of soils are available here in town, so you can pick a plant palette that will fit that situation real well.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, perfect time to plan out what you want to do for the springtime, I think another thing too, a garden. What kind of a garden would you like to have? You know, it depends.
Vegetables. Cutting garden, an English garden, a Tudor garden, all these little things. Which one do you want? And not only knowing what the soil types are, you need to sort of look at the architecture of the house too, and look at is it a significant facade of the house, one that's architecturally specific, if you will, or just a ranch house. But
yeah.
You can take just a plain old house, a plain old ranch house, and there are a lot of them here in town, and just kind of plain, and really make something of them with the landscape. Mm-hmm. So if you really want your house to stand out, you might consider having a plan. And when the designer, such as myself, comes in, you might want to mention that point. You say, I want this to look different than everybody else's. I want it to stand out. Then again, I don't want to spend a lot of money too.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily have to spend a lot of money to make a standout landscape. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind also, what you want it to look like, or you just want it to blend in with everybody else's, you know, that kind of a thing. So there's all these factors to consider. And also me as a designer, I consider the homeowner's abilities as far as maintaining plants are concerned too. Mm-hmm. And you can pick up on that a little bit by seeing what's there.
Yeah.
Or just talking to them and what they kind of envision their house to look like. People have a vision of what it should like. Or if you don't have any idea what your house will look like, but you see a house you really like, just give me an address and I'll look at it and draw some ideas from that particular one so we can kind of match it with your house. So there's, you know, a lot of things to consider also. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You don't rubber stamp landscapes. It's just not the way you do it.
No, I was going to say, you know, it takes time to plan these things out, and mm-hmm. you know, whatever plants you want and whether trees, I think, you know, trees, what kind of trees you want.
Exactly.
So.
And where they can be planted, and your drainage patterns, and your utilities, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I go to some people's houses and walk up the sidewalk, and it's crumbled. I mean, it's just all cracked up and broken and crooked.
Yeah.
And I said, you need to, this sidewalk's terrible. How's your liability insurance? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And do you really want this icky old concrete that you're going to have to be replaced? Do you really want to keep it? And yes, it costs money to replace it, but you can put in pavers too, which are more attractive a lot of times than concrete too.
Right.
So, yeah. And we've done some paver walkways, and if you do it right, you know, they last. A long time.
Yes.
Yeah. The thing is doing it right. Mm-hmm. So consider that also. Look at the condition of the concrete, and you go, yuck. You know.
Yeah, I know.
It's just ugly.
How can we cover that up?
How can we cover it up, or what would it cost to replace it? And really, it doesn't cost that much, really. Mm-hmm. So.
Cover it up with ivy or something. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
That ivy, I remember at my grandparents' house, they grew ivy, and it was just like, it finally just grew out of control.
Yeah.
I mean, it's those type of plants. It's like, they're here, they're in one area, and then boom, they just spread out.
Yeah.
So.
Ivy's, good thing you brought that up. It's an interesting plant, English ivy.
It is.
You plant it out, and you get these scraggly little starch, you plant them out there, and they sit there. For 1 year, they just sit. You said, "What did I do this for?" You know, and the next year they put on just a little bit of growth here and there, and they kind of grow out a little bit, and then in the third year they just take over the place. So it takes for English ivy, it takes a good 3 years for it to really do anything.
I'll give you an example on it. My grandparents had some pine trees, and underneath the pine trees, of course, it doesn't grow very much.
Right,
no grass, no nothing. So they had the ivy, and the ivy just spread out.
Yeah, it'll fill in difficult areas. In. If you made the mistake of trimming up a magnolia tree, you might consider putting English ivy under it, because it will cover. It'll actually jump over the exposed roots and root into little pockets of soil here and there. So it will take over. It'll also climb the tree too. That's a disadvantage of it.
Yeah,
you have to be careful not to let it do that.
Well, as a matter of fact, some of that ivy did. Some of those, grew up on the top of those, not on the bark of the...
It grew up the tree.
Needle pine trees is what I call them.
Oh, okay. Probably loblolly pines.
Yeah. Oh.
It doesn't like the loblolly pines as well as it does some other trees.
Right.
But it will climb them. And it'll also climb up the house, too.
Yes.
And it'll pull the paint off the side of the house, and it'll go in between the siding. I mean, we had a house over there by the hospital, and we had English ivy in the back, and I kept it on the wall because the wall's concrete is ugly, and it kept it trimmed. That was a little barrier between it and where the siding began. Mm-hmm. And the ivy found its way into a window.
Really?
It was closed and locked, and it actually burrowed through there and made it, and it was in the laundry room. Coming out, just floating up there.
My goodness.
So it can get through the smallest little cracks. So
really?
If you do have it on your house, you want to keep it away from things that can get corrupted by it. In other words, in between wood siding and so on, it will cause some, because it's real small when it first starts out. When it goes and explores like that, it's a real small little vine, but then as it pops through and makes its way into there, it expands. It can actually pull the siding off the house. So be very careful with it on your house, too.
What's one way we can not let that ivy spread out?
Just maintain or establish barriers and maintain those barriers. And that's the best way to do it. Up along the, if you have a concrete or block wall and you want it to cover the wall, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Just keep a gap between it and where the other finish of the house starts, such as aluminum vinyl siding. English ivy loves vinyl siding. and then just keep a few inches or so below that, and then you can either use your shears, you can even turn your weed eater upside down and zing it across that one barrier right there. So just to keep it under control. Mm-hmm. can be a bit of a problem. And then occasionally it'll just get too big and bunchy, and you just need to take the clippers and just shear it off the house. It just gets too, you know, clumpy, and birds start to build nests in it and so on. It just gets too blech. So it needs to be disciplined occasionally too.
Right.
So it's coming time. It's almost
it's almost the
middle of February, and almost time for the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Oh.
So it'll be a good time to trim back your English ivy at that point.
Yes, too. Yeah. But like I said, my grandparents had English ivy, and it was just out of control sometimes.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think the good thing of it was it covered underneath the pine trees, which it didn't grow any grass, but it kind of compensated that.
It does a really good job of covering. And one good thing about ivy is I've sprayed Roundup in it, and it kind of ignored it.
Mm.
It has a very heavy waxy leaf on it, and doesn't tend to absorb the Roundup as it will as the weeds that are in it are. So another thing,
I think it killed the weeds. I think it did.
Another thing,
or it covered the weeds up,
with English ivy is tree seeds come in. Squirrels will plant acorns in there, and they grow.
Yes, they do grow.
And then you get all these little trees coming up in it, and that's when you need to keep a good sharp shovel around to dig those out occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And on my old house, we had to do that twice a year. Just go in, had a sharpshooter, one of the little narrow pointed shovels. You just go in and just cut them out.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's just, and it doesn't take long, really. It's good exercise, too.
Yeah, it is good exercise.
So English ivy, glad you mentioned that. That's a good plant. It is poisonous.
Yeah, I didn't figure it was poisonous.
You don't want to eat it. And it does have aerial roots, which can harm trees as it grows up and it gets real thick and heavy. It can cause some harmful effects on the trees. And for architectural elements, it's really bad for that, because it will leave footprints on there. It'll be kind of ugly if you pull it off. They'll eventually rot away and fall away anyway, but it just looks kind of ugly, and it'll pull paint off the walls. It'll pull the siding off the walls and all that. But so, other than that, it's a good thing to have.
Yeah.
It does not like the sun here.
Didn't think it did.
No. It does not like we're at too low a latitude for it to work. The sun's a bit too intense for it here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think they liked the sun around here, but yeah. And anyway, it's an interesting plant.
Virtually pest-free, too.
It is
pest-free. So remember the ginseng family.
Yeah, absolutely. Larry, let's take one more break. And
okey-doke.
Again, and we love to hear from you this morning. So if you have a gardening question for Larry, give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back with Green Country Gardener after this here on K1.
It's never too early or too late in the season to add indoor tropical plants and cactus to your home. Right now, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has tropical and indoor plants and a variety of cactus to choose from. For outdoor landscaping, Green Thumb has trees and shrubs to choose from at 30% off. Clay pots are on sale too. And while shopping Green Thumb, be sure to check out their large selection of sale items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Friday and Saturday only from 10 till 4.
The new and upgraded PowerStar tractors from New Holland and Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville offers you the very best in ergonomics, visibility, and efficiency. The VisionView cab provides industry-leading visibility and convenience with two wide opening doors, a flat deck platform, a 10-vent climate system, the Commandeer console, the left-hand power shuttle lever, and more. In short, PowerStar comfort is extra large, but the operating costs are extra small. The precise fueling of the common rail fuel injection system in their Tier 4B engines make them ultra-efficient, and the industry-leading 600-hour service interval decreases your cost as well. Jensen Tractor Ranch now offers PowerStar tractors in two horsepower levels, the traditional 75-horsepower model and the new, smaller 64-horsepower model. Both models are built New Holland Smart. Stop by Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville soon to learn more about PowerStar tractors.
If there's a tractor in your future, Jensen's got it. Jensen Tractor Ranch, saving prices guaranteed. Bartlesville's New Holland team.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod experts, Enterprise Sod Store at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville. When you're looking for windows and doors that are durable, reliable, and energy efficient, look to the ones builders choose most, Anderson. 400 series windows and patio doors stand up to Mother Nature, Father Time, and Old Man Winter, too. See the limited warranty for details. Anderson 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overlee's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Oh, a little piano music on this Saturday morning. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. Your pianist does a great job.
I could do a good air piano, but yeah. You give me on the keyboard, forget it.
918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 if you have a gardening question for Larry. Matter of fact, let's take this caller, I think, which is... have enough time, and we want to say good morning, caller. Welcome to Green Country Gardener. How can we help you today? Hello? I guess they didn't want to talk. But anyway, we were talking.
We're talking about English ivy.
Yeah.
And other plants. So
let's try this one again.
Okay.
Good morning, caller.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, caller. Good morning. What can we do for you?
English ivy spray. My mother had an English ivy that came through the wall of her outdoors of her house, and I saw it in the corner behind a recliner. It came clear to the siding, and this is in kind of a sunroom, but they can be very friendly. You have to keep them at bay.
Yes.
But I do like English ivy.
It is a good plant, really, and yeah, it's a good thing she didn't fall asleep in the recliner, too. It probably would have.
It was really friendly, so we took care of that. So anyway, you continue your stories. We're enjoying your show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Yes. Yeah, we were talking about the English ivy, and we were talking off the air about pine needle trees and how...
Yeah, pine trees, yeah.
They're strong trees.
They are tough.
They are tough.
Loblolly pine is probably the one you're speaking of, and it's an extraordinarily tough tree. Mm-hmm. It grows in poor soils and grows fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will put them in a landscape in a group because they make an interesting texture in a setting like that, and it's the bark is very aesthetically pleasing. The texture of the plant's really nice too. And they do very well in our soil here, but they don't like a whole lot of shallow rock. They do like some soil. But anyway, loblolly pine is one you might consider for accents in the garden and so on. It does require some fertilizer. There are some, and I've had customers say, what is wrong with this pine tree? It just looks horrible. And I said, when's the last time you fertilized it? Well, it's never. I go, well...
yeah.
And I say, you need to put some milorganite on it and use the whole bag on the tree. Oh, really? I said, it won't burn it, but it give the tree what it wants, and they'll make a comeback. They do need some stuff in the soil. Mm-hmm. I know down in Georgia, when I lived down there, we had them just all over. There's some of them so big around you couldn't reach them. Mm-hmm. You couldn't reach around them. They're huge, and they're really desirable plants in that situation, but cleaning them up is a bit difficult. You have to climb the roof all the time and clean out the gutters and but
same here with me.
When the wind goes through the pine trees, it sounds really nice.
It does. It has that
swishling sound, yeah.
Yes. It does.
I always like the sound of the wind. And every time I go somewhere and I hear that, I miss that from Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, over here, it whistles through, about knocks them over over here.
Yeah, no surprise about that. But but they're tough trees, and they survive really any tough weather out there.
And when you plant those pine trees, keep your shovel sharp.
Well, I always do.
We'll see you next week.
All right, thank you, Larry.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville and K227CQ Bartlesville.